Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace? In Puerto Rico, there's adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the U.S. Get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico and that remind you why you travel in the first place. Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you. No passports required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com. Join Josh and Chuck, the guys who bring you Stuff You Should Know, as they take a trip around the world to help you get smarter in a topsy-turvy economy. Check out the all-new Super Stuffed Guide to the Economy from HowStuffWorks.com, available now exclusively on iTunes.
Hello and welcome to our podcast. We call it Stuff You Should Know with your hosts Josh Clark and Charles W. Bryant. I'm Josh Clark.
We were told to call it Stuff You Should Know.
Yeah. What did you think about that opening?
It was good.
I still have to keep trying, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll try it next time.
100 plus episodes in, we're still working out the first 20 seconds.
Still working out the kinks, yeah. It's just not just the first 20 seconds, Chuck.
You're right.
I mean, from beginning to end, it's herky and jerky, the whole shebang.
It's evolving, Josh.
So, Chuck, I'll tell you who wasn't evolving for about 17 hours back in May of 2008. You want to hear about a woman named Val Thomas?
Yes, and that was awesome, by the way, that set up.
Oh, thank you.
Very good.
Val was a 59-year-old West Virginia woman, and in May of 2008, she died. Died.
Okay.
17 hours. No brain activity. Her heart was stopped. They had her on a ventilator, even during this time. She was dead.
Okay.
And worst of all, rigor mortis set in, right?
Right, which is a surefire sign, I would think, that you're dead.
Yeah, because it's not even like part of the process of death. It's
right.
You've been dead for several hours now, and here's this new process.
Right.
That happens to a corpse. The weird thing is, I mean, this is not, it wouldn't necessarily be significant under any other circumstances but this, because we all go through rigor mortis.
Sure.
But Val Thomas woke up. She came back.
You're kidding.
And I'm not kidding. After rigor mortis set in and everything, she was dead for 17 hours. She woke up, started talking.
And she popped a breath mint and cracked her knuckles, I suppose.
Yeah, and I was wondering, what would it feel like, you know, what would your muscles feel like after rigor mortis set in? I can't imagine it'd feel very good.
Yeah.
You'd probably feel really sore, right?
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Because, I mean, what is rigor mortis except for, like, a contraction of the muscles, right?
Well, is it?
It is, Chuck. Let's talk about rigor mortis today. You want to?
And that's the rigor mortis setup.
There you have it.
Very nice.
Chuck and I have had fun all afternoon sending each other gross pictures of corpses in rigor mortis.
Of stiffs.
Stiffs, exactly. That's where the term comes from.
Absolutely.
Have you ever heard of that book, Stiff, by Mary Roach?
I think so. Is that the pictures of dead people?
No. It's a book about what happens to the body afterwards, and basically what it's like to be a cadaver, all the uses for cadavers. I haven't read it. I was reading the introduction today, and I was also listening to the thrash metal band Rigor Mortis.
I saw them too.
Yeah, were you listening to them?
I wasn't, but I was surprised they were able to get the domain name. It seems, I don't know, like some sort of mortuary.
They've been around for a while. They released their debut album in 1988.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so, I mean, they were probably on top of it back in the 90s.
Sounds like it.
But I was listening to them on Last FM, and I was like, rigor mortis isn't as good as I remembered. So I went over to the Children of Bodom channel, and they were all right. You ever heard of them?
No.
They're pretty serious. You should check them out.
I will.
But anyway, so yeah, I was prepping for this podcast, reading Stiff, and Ms. Roach mentions that she was talking about all the ways cadavers have been used to help, you know, further humanity.
Right.
And one of them was there was this French scientist back in the late 19th century who was trying to find out whether or not the Shroud of Turin was real or not.
Okay.
And he actually got his hands on cadavers, and he was the first one to establish that Christ could not have been crucified through his palms,
mm-hmm.
because this guy determined that that would only hold about a 90-pound man or body
right.
to a crucifix. And the, you know how he found out?
Well,
by nailing cadavers to a crucifix.
So what, it was through the wrist? Is
through
that
the wrist, yeah. Determine? Apparently there's like some joint. I can't remember what it's called, but I think the place where you're, what, tibia and fibula? Oh, I hope that's right. I don't want viewer or listener mail. Is it tibia and fibula?
I doubt it.
What would, humerus? Humerus and... Ah, f***. Well, anyway, we can't put in there? Well, anyway, I assume going to get some listener mail for that one. But the two bones, where they come together at your wrist to connect to your metatarsal or metacarpal... Metacarpal, because it's carpal tunnel syndrome. Anyway, there is a hole there that you could drive a stake through, and it will hold up a substantial adult-sized male.
Interesting.
But this guy, this French physician, figured it out by nailing cadavers to a cross.
And I guess the other option was that Jesus was a 90-pound weakling, which doesn't seem likely to me.
I don't know. I can't imagine they were all that well-nourished back then.
Yeah, but 90 pounds, come on.
90, yeah, that is kind of tiny.
It's slight.
Sure. So, cadavers.
Yes.
Rigor mortis.
Yes. Rigor mortis, Josh.
What does it mean in Latin?
Well, Josh, it's not so important what it stands for in Latin, because we know Latin is a dead language. Latin is suffering from rigor mortis. What is important is how it works, because that's what we're here to educate folks on.
You want to talk about that, or you want me to?
Well, we'll both get into it.
Okay.
I thought one thing that was interesting is that 3 hours or so after a human or animal dies,
mm-hmm.
it starts to happen, and then it happens from head to toe.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty interesting.
Whose law is that?
That would be...
Nystan's law?
Yeah, Nystan. And he discovered this Frenchman. Way back in 1812.
And the reason why it starts from head to toe, basically, they think, is because you have smaller, more delicate muscle tissue
right.
around the face. So usually it's
that
the eyes
uh-huh.
and the mouth that require very delicate, precise movements that rigor up first.
Right, which is why every movie in history, every death scene with a guy's eyes wide open, a friend will come by and gently shut them.
Maybe put a couple of half dollars over them.
Oh, yeah, if it was a Western.
Sure.
Nice.
So, okay, so rigor mortis, Chuck, is nothing but the stiffening of the muscles, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk physiology here for a second, buddy.
Okay.
So we have two different kinds of muscle fibers, right? We've got skeletal muscles, and we have smooth muscle tissue.
Right.
Smooth muscle tissue is like your heart. It's what your heart's made out
right.
of.
Right. This is microscopic, dude.
Sure, it is. And then when you bundle them together, you have, you know, a muscle, what we see as a muscle,
mm-hmm.
right? But, yeah, they're all made up of individual fibers. And all of these are connected or are commanded by neurons, right?
Yes.
So you have motor neurons that command skeletal muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And you have fast twitch muscles, which are the ones that require precise movement. So your fast twitch neurons are the ones controlling like your eye movement, your tongue, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then you have kind of the big oafish neurons of
right.
of the physiology world. And those are slow twitch neurons.
Right. That was a good oaf imitation, by the way.
Thank you very much.
You looked very lumbering.
We need to go video, Chuck.
We will. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, when the brain says, hey, man, raise your left arm, it transmits an electrical impulse to the neuron, which says, oh, okay, we got to get this going.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is when this transmission takes place, there's a biochemical process that happens. You've got these calcium ions, right?
Right.
And they exist outside of the cell, but they like to go into the cell whenever they get a chance,
sure.
right? So they'll go into the cells that make up our muscle tissue, and they kind of throw everything off balance. What they allow to happen is that these two proteins to connect, and we have two different kinds of skeletal muscle fibers.
I know what they're called.
Let's hear it.
Myosin and actin.
Okay, and myosin makes up thick filament fibers, right?
Right.
And then actin makes up thin filament fibers. And when you connect the two, when myosin and actin connect to one another, they're molecules, right?
Yep.
Then you have a contraction. So calcium ions allow myosin and actin to connect, which makes your muscle contract. So to get a muscle to relax, you have to uncouple myosin and actin.
Mm-hmm.
And through oxygen, through aerobic an aerobic process, when we breathe in oxygen, some of it goes to produce this stuff called adenosine triphosphate.
Okay? ATP?
ATP.
Sure.
And that stuff actually decouples myosin and actin, causing the muscles to relax.
Yep.
When we're dead, though, we have
no
two
oxygen.
Problems.
Well, yeah.
Number one, we're not breathing anymore, so there's no oxygen, mm-hmm. which means we're not producing ATP any longer. But secondly, those calcium ions, their natural state is trying to get into the cell.
Right.
So there's a buildup of calcium ions, which means your muscles all start to contract.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, rigor mortis.
There you have it.
That's it.
Dr. Clark.
Thank you.
That is not it, though, Josh.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
No.
I stand corrected.
Well, what's important about rigor mortis is what we should talk about next. And we know how it happens, and you can become stiff, and it's you know, funny to play with a stiff dead body.
Sure.
We all know that.
Put them in like silly positions.
Yeah, it's a good time. But it can actually be used at things like crime scenes.
Oh, it can, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Do we need to talk about that?
Well, yeah. Well, how about this? You said that it sets in after 3 hours.
Yes. Well, not always.
About how long does it last?
Well, it lasts up to 18 hours, 12 to 18 hours.
Okay.
And then it fades away again.
I've heard up to 36, 72. Just doing side research on this,
sure.
It seems like nobody can say definitively how long it lasts.
Well, and it depends on a lot of things.
Okay, well, what do they depend on?
Well, temperature is one obvious thing. Temperature, Josh, is one thing.
Right.
It's pretty obvious. If it's warmer, it'll speed up rigor mortis, and it'll also go at a slower pace, or I'm sorry, faster pace.
Right, so it sets in faster, but it lasts a shorter amount of time, right?
Right, because basically it creates a good environment for bacteria for the decay process, which starts after rigor mortis.
Right, and ultimately that's what gets rid of rigor mortis,
yes.
Right? This process called autolysis,
mm-hmm.
and that is basically where the cells kill themselves.
Yeah,
the enzymes in cells basically break down the cellular structure.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the case for the cells that make up muscle tissue, right?
Right.
So then as these cells decompose, the muscles can no longer hold an erection.
Mm-hmm.
And you're no longer in a state of rigor mortis.
Very nice, Josh.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
When it's cold, on the other flip side of the coin, it'll slow the process down. So if you die outside in the freezing cold, like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Yeah, I love that.
He was a stiff. He probably wasn't just frozen in that scene. He probably had rigor mortis.
Probably, yeah.
And was frozen at the same
time.
And
it would have lasted a long time. I've heard that it can last up to like 28 days under the right conditions.
Yep, if you're freezing out there, for sure. So physical exertion just prior to death, that's another thing that can affect
it. Yeah, because your muscles are already contracted.
Exactly.
Or if you're drowning or something.
Right.
You're already starved of oxygen, so you're not producing ATP anyway. So it can set in immediately, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is called a cadaveric spasm, right?
Mm-hmm.
I actually saw a beaver undergo a cadaveric spasm once.
Really?
Yeah, when I was in Tennessee, I saw a beaver get hit by a car and it went, just immediately died because, like, the next day I was driving down the same stretch of road and the beaver was in the same position making the same face that it was the moment it died.
Interesting.
It was crazy. I saw something undergo a cadaveric spasm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, if police are investigating a crime scene and someone is still, got their finch clenched around their purse or something,
mm-hmm.
then that means they might have died while in a struggle against an attacker.
Sure.
So that can help out the cops. And then fat distribution is another one. Fat is an insulator, as we both know,
because mm-hmm.
we're very warm guys.
So what would that mean? Would you and I undergo rigor mortis more quickly or less quickly?
More slowly.
Okay.
If you have more fat.
Huh.
And then age is another thing. If you have low muscle mass, like if you're a little kid, if you're really old, or I guess I should say elderly. It's a little more sensitive way to say it.
Right. Either way, they're going to undergo rigor mortis too.
That'll happen a lot faster too. So.
Huh.
Those are some things that can affect the speed of the onset and the pace.
But because of that, all those different circumstances surrounding rigor mortis and prolonging it or, you know, shortening it, it's not quite that precise, right? So there's a bunch of other stuff that forensic crime scene investigators use or prefer to use over rigor mortis to establish time of death, correct?
Yeah, and it's not just time of death, too. You can also tell if a body has been moved post-mortem, which is usually a big clue toward finding out kind of if there was foul play, probably.
Or if there were teenagers around afterward.
Yeah, I guess so, playing with the body. Were you talking about livor mortis?
Well, that's one thing, yeah.
That's a good one.
I like that one.
Yeah, livor mortis is when all the blood cells, basically, and all the blood go to the place where it's lowest.
Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're lying on your back, the blood's going to pool in your back. Or if you're on your side and your face is face down on the concrete, your face is going to be flush with blood.
Exactly.
It's pretty gross. Also known as lividity.
Exactly.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And there's another one too, right?
There is. You're talking about Algor mortis? Algor mortis?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
It
that's
has to do with PowerPoint presentations.
Right. actually, that's just the cooling off of the body until it matches the room temperature.
Right. And that happens at a predictable rate too, right? It's like 1.5 to 2 degrees Fahrenheit per hour.
Yeah. So,
so that's a pretty good way of calculating time of death usually.
Absolutely.
Unless the person had a fever.
True.
Yeah, because you're generally assuming that the person's starting out at 98.6. And right. I mean, if they were sick and had a fever, that's going to set it off by a couple of hours.
Right. I think the official body temperature changed, though, didn't it?
Did it?
I'm pretty sure I read that a few years ago. It changed by a 0.01 degree or something.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to
look
into
that.
And we will determine this and follow up on that.
Sounds good, Chuck.
another thing the cops can do is look at the contents of your stomach, just like they did in Jaws.
Yeah.
When they cut the shark open.
Or in Seven.
Oh, did they do that in Seven?
The gluttony guy, yeah.
Oh, right.
Oof.
Gnarly. And that can, obviously, you can see how much your food is digested, the last thing you ate, and that can gauge, you know, how long you've been dead.
And then my favorite.
Insect activity.
Insects, yes.
Yeah, I think as we all know, dead things tend to attract flies and other insects. And that is because they are feeding on your fluids.
Yeah.
They're not just there because of the smell, and boy, this is interesting. They're feeding on your fluids, Josh.
Well, what's fascinating is somebody who's clever enough to figure out, hey, we know so much about, like, in the U.S., the blue bottle fly and every stage of its development, and it develops so quickly.
Right.
And its lifespan happens over such a short period of time, we can walk up and say, oh, there's maggots, and they're blue bottle fly maggots, so we know that this body's only X number of hours dead.
Right.
Or if they've hit the pupa stage or the adult stage, you know, we can use these stages of these flies and maggots burrowing around in somebody's dead corpse to determine how long ago they died. That fascinates me.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I think we should talk about body farms sometime soon. I think we should do a podcast on body farms.
We should. And then forensic pathology, period. I know John Fuller wrote a good article on that.
Let's do it. We'll do a whole suite of just you know, corpse stuff.
Sure.
Sweet.
Sounds good.
All right. So, Chuck, I think with that promise, we've pretty much reached the end of rigor mortis, right?
Well, let's hope not.
Autolysis is starting to set in.
Right.
We're starting to decompose.
You're
I'm a little
freely.
Gamey, I can tell you that.
I can agree with that.
So does that mean that it's listener mail time?
I believe so.
Let's do listener mail then. And I think all of you friends out there listening should make note, we plugged nothing today. Yeah, that's right. Our producer Jerry just gave us the thumbs up, baby.
In fact, we refuse to plug anything because we don't want you to read our blog or to buy our spoken word album.
It's reverse psychology, Chuck.
We refuse to plug.
Very nice.
The anti-plug.
So it's listener mail time.
It is. So, Josh, this comes to us from David in Atlanta, right here.
Hey, I know Atlanta.
And David is commenting on our Ponzi podcast.
Wait, Chuck. You can't just say it like that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Wait, Chuck, we're not proceeding until you say it correctly.
Just let me read.
Okay.
This is from David. I was listening to your podcast about the Ponzi scheme. You happy?
Yes.
And it reminded me of a company, quote unquote, that I did some work for a few years back in Atlanta. He names a company, but I won't name it. They were running a real estate-based Ponzi scheme, and they hired his company to come in and work on their computers, like an IT deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he knew something fishy was going on. He saw a few red flags in just a couple of days that he was there. There was a high level of security for a small company. The owner of the company had a personal bodyguard, and there were several security guards in the little tiny office. Second, the pitch that the sales staff were giving promised typical Ponzi scheme results, high return, that kind of thing. And this is, to me, the big red flag, is he said that they would not let anyone from Georgia invest in their company.
Really?
They're based out of Atlanta, and they wouldn't let anyone in Georgia invest in their company.
Huh.
So he suspected this was a big cover-up and a big scheme. And it turns out that it was. It only lasted about a month, and he heard that they had been operating before that, though, clearly, because they built people out of about $70 million.
Holy cow.
And his company did not even get paid, and that's in David's story.
Wow. Well, thanks a lot, David.
First-hand account.
Hope things have come around again since then for your company. If you have any fascinating stories about Ponzi schemes or pyramid schemes or any kind of scheme whatsoever, or you just want to say what up to Chuck and me, you can send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the Stuff You Should Know blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.